Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Last week, we started reading from chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel. And essentially, we learned that chapter 13 is filled with parables about the kingdom of heaven. And we learned also, too, the kingdom of heaven is God's active presence in this world. Last week was the great parable of the sower. And Jesus interpreted that for us, as we learned about people who accept God and people who reject God and the consequences of that. Well, this week, we continue reading from chapter 13, and we have three parables. One is about the wheat and the weeds, one is about the mustard seed, and the other one is about the yeast. Now, what I want to do is I want to focus all of our time and attention on the parable of the wheat and the weeds for at least a couple of reasons. Jesus in the gospel, he actually interprets that parable for us. Now, this is very rare. Jesus hardly ever interprets the parables for us. We have to figure out the meaning on our own. So if Jesus is intentionally interpreting this parable for us, he wants us to understand it and also apply it in our life. Now, another reason why I want to address this parable, because it's about good and evil in our world. And this is something that humanity has wrestled with from the very beginning of time. Now, let's get into the parable. Essentially, Jesus is the sower of the seed. The field is the world. The good seed is essentially the children of the kingdom, which is us. Now, we have accepted and believe that Jesus is our Lord and King, and therefore we have conformed our lives to him. Now, next to the story, it says, while they were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds. Well, when you hear sleeping in the Bible, that's not always a good thing. It's symbolic of inattentiveness in the spiritual life. We don't know what's really going on. We're not paying attention in the spiritual life. And that's why, you know, the enemy came and sowed these, you know, weeds. Now, the first thing that we can take from this is, you know, when we look out into this world, expect to see both good and evil. We shouldn't be surprised by that. You know, if you look at the history of our world, we've seen some great saints, but we've also seen some great sinners. Now, who's behind this, you know, sowing of the weeds? Jesus says an enemy. Notice, he identifies it as a person. Well, it's the devil. The devil's main chief preoccupation is to sow corruption, destruction, deceit, temptation, you know, in our world. Again, don't be surprised by this. We saw it from the very beginning of time and space. The devil in the garden tempting Adam and Eve. See, when we believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and our King, well, we conform our life to him and his teachings and the teachings of our church. And in doing so, now we live in a right relationship with God. Well, that being the case, expect opposition. Maybe you have found this out. Maybe you have, you know, experienced this. You're growing the spiritual life. Your prayer life is very fruitful. You're going to Mass now every day. And you feel a sense of drawing closer to God. Well, it's precisely when you experience this that there's temptation becomes even greater. Greater obstacles, greater struggles in the spiritual life. Maybe even desolation. Again, don't be surprised by this. This is the enemy's job. You know, he wants to undermine and attack us. Now, the parable continues. It says, the slaves came to the master and said, do you want us to pull the weeds? Well, because of the enemy's action, the weeds now have grown up and wrapped themselves around the wheat. Well, good and evil rarely present themselves in stark contrast where, okay, you have good here and over there is evil. No, instead, you know, good and evil exist in such a way that they can be close to one another, even intertwined, which makes removing that evil all the more difficult. Now, what I find interesting is the master's response. He said, "Let them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest, the harvesters will take the wheat into my barn. And the weeds they will bundle up and throw into fire, which is hell." So what can we take from this? Well, first and foremost, our God is the only God that is sovereign over this entire world, this entire universe. God has power over everything, including evil. Now, this isn't Star Wars, where you have this force of good battling an equal powerful force of evil. No, not at all. Our God, as I said, is all-powerful and sovereign over everything, including the universe and evil itself. But he allows evil to occur in this world. Now, does this mean that we should be indifferent to evil and ignore it? No, we have to oppose it. In fact, by the very measure in which we oppose evil, essentially we become stronger in the spiritual life. You know, real simple analogy, it's like lifting weights. You know, lifting weights is, you know, pushing against a weight. You know, in that act of pushing against that weight, resisting it, essentially your muscles become stronger and stronger. Well, the same thing holds true in the spiritual life. The more we oppose, we push back, we resist that evil, the temptation, we become stronger. Now take it to a deeper level, maybe a level we never thought about. Is it possible that some good in this world would never be realized without the presence of a certain evil? Thomas Aquinas wrote about this. He said, "We would never see the patience of a martyr without, you know, the cruelty of a tyrant." Well, that is so true. And so, yes, there is some good in this world that would never be realized without the presence of a certain evil. I'll give you some examples. A while back, I watched a documentary about FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It was very interesting. It covered the beginning of his life to the end of his life. Now, at the very beginning, FDR was born into a very wealthy and prominent family. He enjoyed many things, you know, in his youth. He went to the best grade schools, the best high schools. He went to Harvard. He was very articulate, very bright, smart. He was very charismatic, and he was very handsome. He was also very athletic, very active. Now, he was successful in business as well as in politics. He married his best girl, and essentially they started a family and had 6 kids. So in all intents and purposes, by all worldly design, FDR had it all. The sky was the limit for him. And yet, in his late 30s, around 38, 39 years old, he was diagnosed with polio. He was paralyzed from the waist down. And because of that, he entered into a severe depression that lasted years and years. And yet, all the biographers would agree that from his polio and depression caused a deepening within FDR's heart. You know, essentially, it created a spirit of compassion that never existed before. And in doing so, he took that compassion and he entered into the suffering of a nation during the time of our depression. Essentially, FDR took that spirit of a compassion and he entered into, you know, the suffering of all the people, all the families in the United States during the Depression. And yes, they did suffer. And it wasn't just economically and the loss of a job, but the loss of the dignity that they had from work. Work gives us dignity, and that was taken away from them. But also, there's a sense of hopelessness in many of the families. You know, what was going to become of them and our country during the Depression? Well, FDR, through his spirit of compassion, entered into all that suffering and led our country out of the Depression, and then gave us the hope that we would overcome evil by winning World War II. Now, we could easily argue that we have never seen that compassion or courage of FDR for our country without first him suffering that he experienced from polio and depression. I'll give you another example. Maximilian Kolbe. During World War II, he was a Franciscan priest. He was arrested by the Nazis and taken to Auschwitz, the concentration camp. Well, one day in the camp, some prisoners escaped. Well, the commandant of the concentration camp was so angry that he wanted to punish the prisoners. So he selected 10 prisoners to execute in retaliation. Well, Maximilian Kolbe found out that one of the 10 men that were selected was a husband and a father. In fact, his family, he had some very young children. And so Maximilian Kolbe volunteered to take that man's place. And he did. And he essentially was martyred. Now again, we would have never seen the witness of Maximilian Kolbe, who gave his life for that other prisoner, without the terrible cruelty of Hitler, the Nazis, or the concentration camps. I'll give you one more example. Mother Teresa. Now we all know Mother. We all know what she did. One could argue we would have never seen the heroic compassion and charity for Mother Teresa caring for the poor, the destitute, the dying, the homeless, the hungry, without the extreme injustice of economic and spiritual poverty throughout our world. And so, yes, there is some good in this world that will never be realized without the presence of a certain evil. See, God allows good and evil to grow, and to some degree, the good becomes even more fully itself, or maybe even more revealed in that opposition to that evil. So what are we to make of this? Well, first of all, we have to look into our life and into this world. And we shouldn't be shocked that good and evil are so closely, intertwined. Maybe it's intended that way by God. Next, we have to resist evil. And by the very measure in which we resist evil, we become stronger spiritually. Take it to a deeper level. By the very measure in which we resist that evil, the good that resides within inside of us is revealed in our opposition to that evil. Just like FDR, Maximilian Kolbe, and Mother Teresa. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.